الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دور شيخ الله Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, Alhamdulillah, in the many sessions of Darsi Hadith, we have been covering the history of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the history of Madinatul Munawwara, the city itself. Upon arrival of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this beautiful city, which was named by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Madina Tayyiba, the name that was given to this city in Jahiliyyah was Yathrib. The very first mission of Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam, the very first objective that Abu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took upon himself was to unite the believers, unite the companions that were there. There Abu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is entering this city, new city, the city which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has destined for him. And the companions that go with him are given this new title and honor as Muhajir, and those who reside in Madinatul Munawwara are known as the Ansari companions. And this is honor given to both the classes of the companions. Both of the groups are highly praised, not just in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but also in the Quran. Allah says, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. And here clearly Allah talks about the Muhajir and the Ansari companions, and also the Tabi'een who follow Hazrat Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een. The first mission was to unite them, was to enforce in them Islamic brotherhood. You have Islamic brotherhood, you have everything. You don't have this unity, this bonding between the two, then in reality, even if you have a beautiful masjid, even if you are wealthy, even if you live an opulent life, it's nothing. It is ittifaq and ittihad to love one another. This was the main objective. This was what Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam did the minute he entered Madinatul Munawwara. And the clear proof of that is in his very first khutbah. The companions are there awaiting for Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam to come. When if it is written in the board here that so and so Shaykh al Hadith is coming, mashallah, people come along in the masjid. If the Imam of Haram was to come here, this masjid would be full. We get excited when our scholars come, shuyukh come, alhamdulillah, that nothing wrong with that. Imagine what the atmosphere must be when Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam came to Madinatul Munawwara. This is why Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, literally everything illuminated the minute Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam entered our city of Madinatul Munawwara. Everything was different. Ab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came his first khutbah. All the companions are there, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. Afshus salam baynakum. And alhamdulillah, I have explained this extensively in the two sessions of Jumu'ah. Spread salam amongst yourselves. Spread salam amongst yourselves. This is the most powerful system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And unfortunately, the ummah lacks in this. We hardly practice the sunnah. Unfortunately for us, the sunnah is beard. For us, the sunnah is amama. For us, the sunnah is miswak. For us, the sunnah is thawb. For us, the sunnah is izar, to make sure externally your outfit is perfect. So when someone says to you, he says, MashaAllah, he's a mutasharri'. And we despise people who don't have that appearance. That in itself is against the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to take your fellow Muslim brother to be in a inferior way. Astaghfirullahi lazim. And I in no way am implying here that we shouldn't do this. No, alhamdulillah, brothers won't be prepared. And alhamdulillah, we Hanafis are very staunch. We the Hanafis are very, very staunch in this matter. But it is the entire sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How to behave with your Muslim brother, how to behave with your wife, how to behave with your children, how to behave with your neighbor, how to behave with your friends, how to behave with your neighbors, irrespective of them being Muslims or non-Muslims. And this is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just today in Jummah, when I was sitting with Sheikh Faisal Manju, again, mashallah, he himself is an attorney, a lawyer, and a great scholar, and a great alim himself, who specializes in the masail of inheritance. When I went to drop him off back at home on East Park Road, that's where, at the moment, that's where he's staying. And I parked my car and I saw, mashallah, East Park Road, it's a busy road, isn't it? Brothers who live here locally, you know that. There, you'd normally expect, no offense to the West Indians, but they normally would do something like that. You know, the taxi drivers know best. And now this system is in, even into the Muslims. Arrogance, no akhlaq. There he is, he stops the car on the main road and there's a traffic all behind, and he himself is wearing a topi with a beard. And he is waiting for someone that individual should come in the car, or he's planning to give him a lift or something. And he's hooting at him and that person is ignoring. And there is a scene. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Where is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And I was there looking and I said to Maulana Faisal Sahib, I said, Astaghfirullah, Maulana Sahib, this is a Muslim doing it. And Maulana Sahib, being a scholar, he said to me, well, Maulana Sahib, don't you know the hadith? That the very first blessing that will come out from my ummah, as in the ummah of Rasulullah, will be khuluki azim, good character will come out. So there is no character. We have to learn, especially when we are living in the midst of kuffar, my respected brothers, we should have such high character that these people not physically bow down to us, but subhanAllah respect us and they appreciate us. That no, these Muslims are different. MashaAllah, where do they get these teachings, this knowledge, this ilm? Who teaches them? And they refer back to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam came, first thing, Ya ayyuhan nas, afshu salam, spread salam. Afshu salam baynakum wa at'imu at'am. And look at the second statement, instruction given of Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam, hukam wa at'imu at'am, and feed the needy people. Again, here the muhaddithin have said that وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ literally means something else, but it has a very comprehensive meaning to it. The muhaddithin have said that the mu'mineen, the believers, should take out from them selfishness. Today we Muslims are selfish people. As long as we get something, fine. Dusra aadmi khaak mein chale jaye, we don't care. I should not be deprived, whether my fellow Muslim gets it or not. I should not. I should get my share. I am not prepared to share anything. This is the difference between the companions in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims today. It's easy, my respected brothers, to grow a beard, to wear a thawb. Not that difficult, especially when your mahal is done. Alhamdulillah, it's not difficult. When the mahal is there, when the society, mashallah, is groomed in that way, then nothing is difficult. It becomes easy. But to enforce good character, to enforce, to take out from you selfishness and to create selflessness, sincerity of the intention, that everything I am doing for al-hubbu lillah wal-bughzu lillah, to have this jazba of mujahada, that inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'mineen anfusahum wa amwalahum, nothing that is in our possession belongs to us. Everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This body, this ruh, this jism, the money, the possession, everything is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything should be distributed equally. This is the message of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you can achieve that high level of iman until you love for your Muslim brother what you will love for yourself. Allahu Akbar. And the companions were incredible people. Masters and slaves. When a foreigner would come, it would be difficult for him to recognize who is the aqa, the master, and who is the slave. They would wear the same clothes, share the same plates, eat in the same plate, eat the same food. But yet the status was that he is a slave and he is the master. But until information is given, the person in front would not have that knowledge. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-mu'minuna ka rajulin wahidin, that the believers in their mutual love for each other are like one single body. Just check out the examples of Huzur alayhi salatu wasallam. In ishtaka aynuhu, ishtaka kullu. Like if there's pain in your eyes, then the pain is felt everywhere in the body. Someone comes to you, mashallah, Umar, do you want to come out? Shall we go out? Then Umar will say, no, I have pain in my ear. And if somebody was to say to him, well, that pain is in your ear, nothing wrong with your legs, come, let's walk it. He'll say, no, pain is there, but the effect, the impact of it is in the entire body. In ishtaka ra'su, ishtaka kullu. If the pain is in the head, then the pain is felt everywhere in the body. This is what Huzur alayhi salatu was salam came. This is what he enforced in Madinatul Munawwar. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ and وَصِلُ الْأَرْحَامُ, maintain your uterine relationship. قَرَابَ الدَّارِ, رِشْتِدَارِ. وَصَلُّ بِاللَّيْلِ, perform your salah in the night whilst everyone is sleeping. Everyone is sleeping. That time is a time when one is extremely close to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ, you shall enter Jannah with salamati, with security, without any form of difficulty. Not only did he mention that in his first khutbah in Madinatul Munawwara, but physically, look at the application. Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam has a group of companions, Ansari here, Muhajir here, points out to the Muhajir Sahabi, stand up. The Muhajir companion, stand up. And he looks and he says, right, you Ansari companion, stand up. From today, both of you are related. Ansari companion, it is your duty to accept him as your one of the members of your family. Subhanallah. And literally, they would take that Sahabi, that Muhajir Sahabi, and share everything with him, everything. And everyone was divided, everyone. All the companions that came, mashallah, they had relation, they had family members, the Ansari were all related to them. Why? Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam connected them. Even people like Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, rich companions, wealthy people of Makkatul Mukarrama, and Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam's basirat, insight was such that he would look for compatibility there. That is why when you choose your partner, when you marry, compatibility must be there. There is this great difference, then the marriage won't last long. It will break. So you have to see that balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about this in the Quran, and this is known as kuf in the hadith and in the kutubs of fiqh. Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf, Hazrat Sa'ad bin Rabi, radiyallahu ta'ala, and ghaliban, it is that companion too, if I remember correctly. Abdurrahman bin Auf stands up, after sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again looks for someone to the equivalent of Abdurrahman bin Auf being a millionaire. Hazrat Sa'ad bin Rabi was a millionaire in Madinatul Munawwar Ansari. And he says, Sa'ad, you stand up. You suit to be the brother for Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf. And you look after Abdurrahman bin Auf. Incredible. The companions were so sincere. And let me say this. He said to Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf, I'm a rich man, wealthy man. Allah has blessed me. I have many gardens, farms, orchards of dates. Everything, 50% I give you. Because Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam has said that I have to look after you. 50% is yours. Aaj koi hoga aisa mera aziza? Very difficult. To give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very difficult. Today unfortunately we have this idea that if you give money in the masjid, mashallah, that is great. If you give money in madrasa, mashallah, that is great. But to help your Muslim brother, to help him, to take away the burden that is on his head, to help him in any way. No, why should I? Chorini. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. That is the difference. Companions would look at that first. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam says, you take away any form of difficulty from your Muslim brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free you from the difficulty of the hereafter. Sasta sada. Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf was so confident, and that confidence came in him because of the dua that Huzur alayhi salam gave him, that Allah bless him in his tijara. It is said that if he would lift up a stone, he'd expect gold to be there. Anything he touched would become gold. He was a natural businessman. And he said to his brother Sa'ad bin Rabi, he says, no, just show me where the market is. Just show me where the market is. And leave me, I don't need nothing of you. And Hazrat Sa'ad bin Rabi says, up to you. Showed him where the marketplace is, where people come, business people do their tijara transactions. And in no time, Hazrat, again, Abdurrahman bin Auf acquired that status which he had in business, that people would look up to him in Makkatul Mukarrama, and his charity was phenomenal. One more thing. Look at the sincerity. Hazrat Sa'ad bin Rabi said to Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf that I have many wives. And to support you as my Muslim brother, today, as Muslims living in the year 2003, we can't even understand. It's beyond the comprehension of the mind that how can a Sahabi say this to his fellow Muslim brother? It is beyond the level of thinking for us Muslims. Why? Because the level of Iman, our level of Iman is very low. When we talk, we speak, we say Al-Hubbu Lillah, love for Allah, hatred and enmity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but really we don't put that into practice. And he says, if I have two wives, three wives, four wives, I will divorce one for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I know that none of my wives or any one of them would not take offense to that, because Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam has instructed us that we have to look after you. You have no one to serve you, to look after you, to prepare food for you, to wash your clothes as your companion. Subhanallah, I will divorce one and she will serve you. Dunya mein aisi misal dekhi hogi. Flick the books of history. Can you find sincerity and literal, subhanallah, fulfilling at face value the words of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam? Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala and said no to everything. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them in the Quran. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّى. And those who are with Rasulullah, the companions, they are strict with the disbelievers. What are they? Strict. The bitne sakhti, strict with the disbelievers. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. And they show mercy with each other. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا. You will see them bowing, kneeling. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. Craving for the mercy of Allah and for His approval. This is their goal. This is their mission. Allah ko hum razi kar le, bas khatam ho gayi baat. كَزَرْعٍ. In the later ending ayat. أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَزَ فَاسْتَوَى. Allah gives an example. And that in the beginning they were weak, like a cultivated seed that's put in the ground with its shoots, and then it swells up and it comes out, sprouts out, it becomes strong. The seed gradually becomes into a strong stem, and when the farmers look at that, 6 months of effort, first it was a seed, then mashallah everything comes out, and now it's firm in the ground. This is the example of the companions, that they were weak. But day by day, by following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, their foundation became so strong that they were unbreakable. The unity, subhanAllah. And this was the first objective of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to create peace and harmony amongst them. And this is what we should do. Our locality, our masjid, people who come here to perform salah, we respect each other, we give salam to each other, we should think good of each other, making sure that there is unity. And then later on, this unity was again consolidated by the building of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself with the companions took part. If you remember, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. There is no bliss but in the hereafter. And the Muhajirin companions and the Ansari companions, both were there, side to side, shoulder to shoulder, working with Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam in constructing Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this unity in them, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Faghfir lil ansar wal muhajira, and I beseech you, O Allah, that forgive the shortcomings of the Ansari companions and the shortcomings of muhajir. Subhanallah. This was the dua Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was giving them whilst they were there building Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, in the last session of Darsi Hadith, just before the month of Ramadan, we completed the significance of the main pillars located in the main area of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I don't wish to repeat myself. I have explained thoroughly with regards to the pillars of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the pillars of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we go on to the minarets in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the minarets are again important parts, components of a masjid. That is why now if Muslims wish to build a masjid, a purpose-built masjid, then it is so important that we have minarets and dome. Don't talk to me, oh, sadgi honi chahiye. You do your sadgi in your house. You drive a flashy car, a Merc and a sports car, and you go for Umrah and Hajj every year, and you have the best things in your homes, and you say sadgi honi chahiye. And you go to Dubai and the wives purchase gold and silver and everything, and we talk about sadgi. My respected brothers and elders, we are living in the year 2003. Islam is not just for the Pakistanis and the Indians and the Bengalis. Islam is for everyone, all the Europeans. And these people, when they come and see something, a building that is as beautiful as this or any other beautiful structure, mashallah, there is this inclination, there is this pull. They want to come inside, they take pictures. They have this natural love. These people have this knowledge. They want to do that. And it is not for show. It is not for show. Your intentions have to be right. Your intention should be there that we are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for da'wat purpose. For da'wat purpose. Subhanallah. And that is why Allah gives jazai khair to Hazrat Umar bin Abdulaziz radiyallahu ta'ala. He is the first man who introduced many, many new structures in the interior of a masjid and the exterior of a masjid. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no mihrab. He was the first one to construct a mihrab. And alhamdulillah, today we want to pray in front of the mihrab of Rasulullah. Allah give jazai khair to Umar bin Abdulaziz, who pointed it out and made the mihrab there. This is the mihrab of Hazrat Uthman, this is the mihrab of Hazrat Fatima, this is the mihrab of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were no minarets in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala is the first one to construct minarets in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the beginning, four minarets were built on Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the order of Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He comes from the lineage of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Some of the muhaddiseen and the akabirin have titled him as Umar Thani, the second Umar. The first was Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Amirul Mu'mineen. And they were four minarets. The fuqaha have said that the reason for minaret is very simple, is that the maqsad of azan is that the voice of the muazzin should reach all ends of the city, everywhere. In the olden days, I'm not sure if it is still practiced today, we live in the time of technology, of course. In the olden days, the muazzin would have to climb up the minaret. I have seen that with my eyes. And subhanallah, it's incredible. That feeling is beautiful when you see the muazzin actually giving azan from the minaret. And he would climb up and give azan from the minaret. Musa, by the way, with his health, we don't expect him to climb up Masjid Omar. I don't think we have any entry to the minaret in Masjid Omar anyway. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala and says that one of the ladies of Banu Najjar who was living close to Masjid Nabawi, her house was in an elevated position, and she told Hazrat Bilal that give azan from my rooftop, and if you give azan from here, the voice will reach everywhere. And this was in the southern block of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an would give azan there. The fuqaha have said it is mustahab to give azan from the minaret. Nowadays we have, mashallah, the mic system and speakers, and we have giant speakers. If you've seen the speakers in Masjid al-Haram and Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of the muazzin standing in the minarets, we have the speakers there and they do the job. But I think that even in some areas, some of the fuqaha were even against this mic system. And in the early time, some of the mufti gave fatwa that it is not jaiz for an imam to read his salah through this system of mic. But alhamdulillah, that is not the opinion of majority of the muftiyane izam, the fuqaha. If you look at Masjid al-Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam today, the muazzin stand in this high elevated platform, a balcony sort, like, made out of white marble, and you have stairs, little stairs going up, and only the muazzin are allowed to enter that. Musa Bhai recently came to me, before he went, he said to me, inshallah I will give azan in Masjid al-Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I said, mashallah, that is jazbah. That is jazbah. We'd be proud of Musa Bhai then. This we have something to say when he comes back. And he said, when he came back, I said, Musa Bhai, did you fulfill your dreams? He said to me, Maulana, I was there, I tried, I pushed and I did everything. I said, one azan, and the Arabs just pushed me out. La. What did they say? La. And I wish they would say la to a lot of people that enter our designated security zone. So Musa Bhai was pushed away, la. No. And the muazzin, and this area is known as Maqsuratul Muballighin, Maqsuratul Muballighin, a special area. And the Egyptian kings, Sheikh Ashraf, the Sultan Ashraf Qutaybai or Qatibai, was one of the great kings, Sultan, who maintained the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a great way. And he was the first one to make this platform an area, a designated zone, just for the muazzin to be there, to relax, to stand there, to come, and their position and places were reserved. Like today in Masjid al-Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The historians of Madinatul Munawwara have even said that the area where the muazzin gives azan today in Masjid al-Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the exact spot where Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an would stand on Yawmul Jumu'ah in front of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. And he would give azan there, and today the system of azan, the muazzin stand there and give azan as to fulfill the sunnah of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an. And this area, this platform, this balcony is absolutely opposite to the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama say that this is where the Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an would stand and give azan. Alhamdulillah, till today, even the system of takbir, to repeat the takbir after the imam, the mukabbir, the muazzin are there, and this is where the azan is given. This is the history of the minarets. Two minarets are of significance in Masjid al-Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, with the new extension in Masjid al-Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have approximately 10 minarets. How many minarets in total? 10 minarets. Is it 10? Something of that. Inshallah. I think it is 10. I'm sure it is 10. Correct me if I'm wrong, inshallah, in the next session. 10 minarets. And the two minarets, the old minarets, one is Manarai Ra'isiya. And that, the minaret of Ra'isiya, that is known as Minarai Ra'isiya. Why? Because in the time of Sheikh Sultan Ashraf Qatibai, the main muazzin would always give azan from that minaret. And that minaret is very, very close to the green dome, to the dome of Masjid. Both, in fact, are very, very close. Close to the dome of Masjid al-Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was burnt when in the 13th of Ramadan, during the time of Sheikh Sultan Ashraf Qatibai, the masjid caught fire. A lot of the main part of the masjid was burnt, including some of the pillars and also the minaret. And this new face of minaret of Manarai Ra'isiya was again constructed by Sultan Ashraf Qatibai, ya Qutaybai. No comments. But music in the masjid is haram. What is it? Music in the masjid is haram. But alhamdulillah, I'm sure it's, you know, I'm just surprised that we have this system here that should cut off any ringing. I'll have to see what make that is. Alhamdulillah, in Masjid Umar we have this system that if anybody has left their phone switched on also, there should be no reception. Anyway, for safety, just switch it off. So we have Manarai Ra'isiyah. And the second minaret is known as Manaratu Babu Salam. Minaret of Babu Salam. And because that is close to Babu Salam, if you enter Babu Salam, on the right hand side is the entry that if you enter from inside Masjid Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you will climb up Babu Salam. And here in this kitab we have a picture of both the minarets. This is the green dome. This is the only picture that I could find with both the minarets there. And this minaret here is known as Ra'isiyah. This minaret. And the minaret there is known as Manarai Babu Salam. These are the old minarets of Masjid Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Even during the Ottoman Empire, when the Turkish were ruling Hijaz and Muqaddasa, they left everything intact. They beautified the Masjid of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they left everything intact, including the two minarets. And that is the brief history of the minarets in Masjid Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then we come to the dome. I won't take much of your time, inshallah. We come to the dome of Masjid Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which in our language is known as Ghummat-e-Khidra. Ghummat-e-Khidra. Again, this dome, the first honor of building this dome on top of the Hujra of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this honor was given to Sultan Mansur. Kya hai bacha ka naam? Sultan Mansur. In the year 678 Hijri. There were never ever any domes to be found in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or in the time of Khulafai Rashideen. The purpose of the dome was that when it would rain in Masjid Nabawi, in Madinatul Munawwara, a lot of rain would accumulate in that area on the rooftop, especially where Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam was resting. And Sultan Mansur, to prevent that, he came up with this idea that to beautify the masjid also with the minaret, we should make a dome. So that was the first dome that was made, and it is on top of the hujra, the chamber of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. With the big dome, there is also a few, now there are several domes, but there was another second small dome. Inshallah, I'll explain that to you in another session. This dome, again, the new construction of this dome was given by Sultan Kaitibai approximately 200 years later, in the year 886 Hijri, when in the 13th of Ramadan the masjid caught fire. It even affected the dome of Masjid Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this great Egyptian king again served Masjid Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam well, and he gave it a new face. And the third and the final phase of the dome was by Sultan Mahmud Uthmani. Come? Sultan Mahmud Uthmani. Brothers must remember that this green dome has only been painted green, or however the color is given to it. This color has been there only for 200 years now. How many years? 200 years. It was Sultan Mahmud Uthmani that decided that the color best for the dome should be green. And the green color is not something that is unique in Islam, that it's the color of Islam, and a lot of people have that in their flag. It is just a color. It is just a color. If you look at Kaaba, it's black cloth. If you look at Kaaba, it's black cloth. We have a lot of the muhibbeen who wear the green amama. What do they wear? The green amama. Now, I am not in that position to criticize anyone. But love is connected with amal to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Muslims, we are to wear and attire ourselves in those clothes in which we suit our Islamic identity. Suit our Islamic identity. You don't have to dress up in such a way that if someone looks at you, they feel that you're dressed up tatty and not the right color. You have to dress up in the right way. What amama is sabit from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is white and black. So far as the narration of hadith is concerned, one of the great scholars of Pakistan, Mufti Zarur Ali Khan, has established that in Sharh al-Sunnah, and I personally have gone and checked this and verified this riwayah, it is said that one of the signs of Qiyamah is that those who will be against Islam, and I am no way implying any particular group, astaghfirullah al-azim, my heart is free from there. I am just quoting to you the costume that that particular group will wear. That is why in the hadith it comes that a group of people will come who will be known as tahliqul ras, that they will have this habit, well, it will be their identity, that their heads will be shaved. Their heads will be shaved. They will be anti-Muslims, anti-Islam. They will go against Islam. And again, some of the people who will be affiliated to the army of Dajjal, in the hadith, it comes that they will wear a form of green amama. A form of green amama, whatever might be the clothing, but cloth be, but it will be green. This, and for more information, Mufti Zarur Ali Khan is by all means one of the great scholars. His knowledge is incredible. He is a great muhaddith, and that is what he has said. So we have to wear those clothes which are there in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can't simply say because the dome color of Masjid Nabawi is green, so we carry the dome or we are imitating the dome or in any way any significance that we love Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam in that way. No. Subhanallah. We have to establish the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the green color has been there since 200 years approximately. That is why in the old books of history of Madinatul Munawwara, the dome has been referred as Al-Qubbatul Bayza. Bayza means white, the white dome. And slowly, slowly, slowly that white dome is green. And this has been there since the time of Sultan Mahmud Uthmani. And when the Turks left, like I said, they did not touch any main parts of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such as the pillars and also the dome and the two minarets, Manarai Ra'isiyah and Manarai Babu Salam. This is the brief history of the dome of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the minarets and the pillars of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, the speaker and the listeners, that we have this clear understanding of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we practice the sunnah of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min rizaka wal-jannah. Wa na'udhu bika min ghazabika wal-nar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka abduka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adhaka minhu nabiyyuka abduka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. سمعنا وطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.